This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host for this evening. And I have Lee joining me in the studio. Hi, Lee.
Hey.
How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Now, tonight, Lee, we wanted to talk about the basics of gender diversity, because on this show we've had a lot of FTMs, masculine identified, and MTFs coming on and telling their story, but I haven't really had anyone like you, Lee, who is genderqueer. Now, you've got quite an interesting story, and you're also the queer officer of Swinburne Student Union.
Yeah, I guess so. I happen to be.
A queer officer, yeah. You told me that I could call you that, so.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's a cool title.
That's fine.
And I also wanted to sort of get down to sort of talking about what gender is and the gender spectrum and what it's like in the life of a genderqueer person. Later on I want to talk about some questions you've been asked and how you've been treated differently depending on what you're being perceived as, and hormone changes and chest surgery and everything that goes with being genderqueer. So you're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this evening, and I've got Lee joining me in the studio. How are you, Lee?
I'm good, thanks.
That's good. We have discovered that you're good because I asked you that before. Now, Lee,
just checking in.
Just checking.
Just making sure.
That's right. Transpositions is about all genderqueer people, but mainly I've talked with FTM, masculine identified, and MTF, feminine identified. But I want to talk to you because you're identifying as genderqueer. Mm-hmm. Now, you were assigned female at birth. Is that correct?
Yep.
So what's life been sort of since that day?
Well, a lot have happened over the decades. So I was assigned female at birth, and then I never really felt female. So then I assumed, that I was male because, back in my day, there was only, the choice of being either male or female. And I knew that I definitely wasn't female. So I thought I was male and identified as male and a trans guy for a number of years. Before did the whole the testosterone and the chest surgery and the hysterectomy and all the things. But I didn't know that there were other options, that I could be genderqueer and I didn't have to be masculine or feminine, that there were other options.
So gender is sort of like a continuum or a spectrum, I guess, is how people describe it, with masculine on one end and feminine on the other end. Is that how you describe it, Lee?
It's very complicated. Gender's subjective. It's more to do with identity and how you feel and how you identify, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And so you went on testosterone for a little while and had chest surgery. Or is it a little while or a long while?
I was on testosterone for 3.5-ish years.
Wow, okay.
For quite a while, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And you had your chest surgery while you were still on the hormones. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so at what point did you discover that you didn't feel male or female and you needed to just be Lee, and how you were going to do that?
Probably because I stopped testosterone in December last year, so I've been off it for approximately 8 or so months. I started thinking a lot more and like having genderqueer friends and realizing that there are more options, and I hadn't really thought about it because I thought, well, I mean, I'm not a girl, so therefore I must be a boy, and there were only two options, but realising that there are more than two options and that I can identify how I feel and that there were more options, basically. I started questioning and thinking about it, and, you know, I don't feel like gender dictates, like, who I am, like, that, you know, I'm male and have to behave this way, or, you know, it's irrelevant of who I am as a person.
Definitely. I agree with that. I think for everybody that's the case. We put too much emphasis on gender and even sexuality to define a person. And it's quite interesting that one of the first things that you notice about someone that you're first meeting is what gender they are. And you were telling me before that you get people confused and they don't know what box to put you in, and they sort of don't know how to treat you. You know, as not
they get
male.
A bit cranky they when they cranky. Can't assign you like male or female when you're not stereotypically one or the other. They get a bit cranky.
Cranky, yeah,
yeah.
Because I suppose if you say that you're male, they're going to talk about trucks and footy or something with you, and if you're female, then you know they can talk about painting your nails or something. Just so they know, you know, where common ground is going to be, I guess. Because so much is defined by people by what gender they are.
Yeah, and how they treat you, how they speak to you. It's all gender-based a lot of the time, and it doesn't have to be. And I guess realizing that more and more. And, you know, I paint my nails just as much as I love lifting weights. And yeah. I like to do those things because I like those things, not because of gender.
Nice. Now, talking about being treated differently, being perceived as male or female, there is certainly male privilege out there. And you were saying that it's completely different, people, the way you were treated being perceived as female than male and genderqueer. It's all completely different, even from just strangers who have just met you.
Yeah, oh, it's absolutely terrible. I mean, I remember when I was perceived as female, men thinking that, you know, they could have me, or they, you know, would, like, objectify my body. And then when they were perceiving me as male, all of a sudden this automatic respect, like meeting people, wanting to shake my hand, calling me brother, and this automatic respect. And it was absolutely awful. And I've got a lot of heartbreak about that. And a lot of sexism feels. It's awful.
And you were telling me that sort of the early on when you first started testosterone, you started being perceived as male, and even walking home at night, you felt like you were a predator just because you were male.
Yeah, I had a bit of a cry about that. I remember the first time it happened, walking home from the gym, and seeing a woman afraid of me, and like all of a sudden I was put in the same category as somebody harmful, and I had a lot of heartbreak about that. It's awful that it happens. It's just, yeah, heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough one. We will come back with more about being genderqueer and the life of a genderqueer person. You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and we are talking about the life of being genderqueer, and I've got Lee in the studio. And Lee, you're genderqueer, and we were just talking about being perceived as male or female or even in between somewhere. It does depend also on sort of who you're hanging out with as well. We were talking before about depending on who you're with, you're perceived differently. Your gender can be completely different to a stranger.
Yeah, people seem to think that guys hang out together and girls hang out together. And it's interesting, if you're genderqueer or your gender is perceived a little bit ambiguously, if you're in a group full of guys, they'll just assume that you're a guy. But if you're in a group of girls, they'll just assume that you're a girl, and they'll fill in the blank that way based upon who you're with. It's quite interesting how people just naturally assign you a category like that.
Yeah, fill in the blank. I like that. That's awesome. if you do have any questions for us tonight, please SMS 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. We'd be happy to answer any burning questions you've got. Now, Lee, you decided to stop testosterone hormone replacement therapy because you felt like it wasn't for you. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I didn't need it. Like when I thought about, like I started reflecting late last year, my dysphorias were my chest and bleeding monthly. I had some awful dysphoria around those two things, but I didn't have dysphoria around other things. So I didn't need testosterone. It wasn't for me. It is obviously for other people, but it just, I didn't need it anymore. So I decided to stop.
Nice. Do you get people telling you you're brave for doing that all the time?
No.
No?
Actually not. When I started testosterone, I got told that I was brave a lot, and all the encouragement. But actually I've found you don't really get much encouragement from stopping T, which I found, in my experience, significantly harder than going on T. Because when you're going on tea, everyone gets excited because you're binary and they understand that. And, you know, they're encouraging and great. But coming off tea, not many people have been very encouraging. I guess maybe they don't understand it or understand how difficult it is. Like, I mean, I went off tea cold turkey, which was really challenging. But, yeah, I mean, not as understood, I guess, as binary trans female or trans male.
I suppose coming out and starting T and being binary masculine, you can be really hyper masculine and everyone's going to call you bro and mate and boss and whatever. But you coming off T, I think people were probably like, well, what's Lee now? You know, is Lee our bro or our mate?
Don't know how to relate.
Not knowing how to relate, yeah. And the other thing was, so pronouns. You changed your pronouns of what you prefer as well. So I think, so you don't go by he or she, you go by gender-neutral pronouns, is that right?
They or my name's fine, and my name, Lee, coincidentally rhymes with he and she, so if that makes it a little easier, that's cool.
Nice. So there have been pronouns that people have made up, is that right, for a sort of gender-neutral pronouns?
I mean, there's they, there's Z's,
Z's,
yeah.
Yeah. Are they, is that made up, is it, or is that, like, part of...
They're pronouns. I mean, if you think every word's really made up anyway.
So how come you didn't choose to go by Z, or is it, do they say here, H-I-R?
I guess because they I'm more comfortable with, and it's more, I guess, like known. I mean, it's used a lot in common language, like every day, like, oh, they did this, they did that. I mean, it just like, it's just, yeah, more common, I guess. And
yeah.
It's fine. I mean, I prefer my name and to avoid pronouns in general. I mean, it's not really a big deal as long as they don't define me as a person.
Yeah. How do you educate people on gender-neutral pronouns? Do you find that it confuses a lot of people?
Sometimes I'll just let it slide because it's not worth having that conversation with somebody that I'm probably never going to see again. But I mean, in my common circles and at uni and in meetings with the union and meeting people that I meet, that I'll come across, you know, I'll have that conversation, or, you know, we'll have like a pronoun round, like, or I'll clarify, I'll ask somebody that I meet that I'm, you know, what pronoun do you use? And, you know, if they're confused by what I mean by that, then I'll have to probably have that conversation. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people, like, oh, okay, yeah, I use this, and like the reason that I'm asking is, you know, because I'm not going to assume, and then they'll ask me back, and opening up that conversation.
Yeah, I think the best way to know what to call someone is just to ask. There's no harm in asking. And -18, which is a genderqueer group, also did a great little video on pronouns, which I have posted on the Transpositions Facebook page, and it basically just explains what pronouns are, and how to go about asking someone what they prefer to be called, and that it is the choice of the person to be able to choose what pronouns they prefer, as well as being able to choose their name, basically. Yeah, it is an interesting one, but I was saying to you before, I think that being genderqueer is a lot more accepted Do you find that nowadays?
A little bit more. Unfortunately, I felt a lot more accepted when I was identifying as a trans guy because, I mean, it's binary. People are familiar with male and female. So I feel that we've still got a far, like, quite a while to go.
Yeah, definitely. And now you're, as I mentioned before, the queer officer of Swinburne Student Union. And that's sort of, you're involved in a few projects there that are a bit more progressive with gender diversity amongst the students. You did a recent one about signs for the gender neutral bathrooms.
Yeah, that's something that I'm really passionate about and have been working on all year. So I wrote a proposal for gender-neutral bathrooms late last year, and that's been passed through, and Swinburne University have actually been incredible about it. We've got two gender-neutral bathrooms in our union bar, and we're getting a third gender-neutral bathroom right near our queer lounge that's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. That's been promised by the Vice-Chancellor. That she's been wonderful about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm interested in talking a bit more about the signage and everything that you guys have worked out for the unisex bathrooms. You're on Trans Positions on Joy 94.9, and I've got Lee in the studio, and we are talking about being genderqueer, and we were just talking about pronouns before. And it is a very interesting topic, pronouns, and we were basically just wrapping it up by saying, don't ever assume anything about another person. And if you're not sure, then ask. It's pretty much as simple as that. Now, Lee, we were talking about hormones as well tonight. You went through a few physical changes, but you've also gone through a bit of a reversal when you came off testosterone. Can you tell me about your experience coming off? I know you said you went cold turkey, but you were on, so there's certain types of testosterone. There's primotestin, which is a 2-weekly shot, and then there's a reandron, which is a 10-12 weekly shot, I think. Can you remember, Lee?
I think it was on every 8 weeks. I mean, some people are on every 12 weeks. You adjust it.
8 to 12.
What the doctor says, yeah.
Yeah. And so you were on the reandron every 8 weeks, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you just decided to come straight off it.
I'll talk to my doctor first, of course. I didn't just stop it.
And your doctor said that if that's what you want to do, then it's medically safe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he said if things get really difficult, you can go on like the gel, like the testosterone gel, and sort of wean yourself off it. But I really wanted to do it cold turkey and just get it out of my system and just get on with it, which was really, really difficult. It seemed a lot easier to go on T and have those changes, but to come off it, I mean, your body's, I guess, used to testosterone. I'd been on it for 3 years, and, you know, coming off it, there were side effects that were awful. I mean, I broke out in sweats. I was having like mood changes. Like it was just awful. Like, I mean, that adjustment, it was like third puberty. Like it was awful. Yeah.
Third puberty.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, yeah, your body was trying to get the T out of your system, I suppose, with
your
sweats.
It's probably freaking out because it's like, where's my testosterone? And when you see, you know, some trans guys say that when they're late for their shot, even if they're a couple of days late, they get really cranky and really irritable and really tired, and there's all the side effects that happen, and it really messes with your head because your body's just used to, like, this hormone, and then when you take it away, it freaks out.
Yeah, absolutely. I know from even when I did the switch over from primotestin to reandron, I think I calculated my weeks wrong, and I was a few weeks off my shot, and I just went downhill emotionally, psychologically. I was hopeless. I felt rock bottom and just really in a bad place, and all it was just a few weeks different on my shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't begin to imagine how it would feel to go cold turkey off the testosterone. It's so hormones affect us so greatly, our emotions, and so it would have been a really big change. Was it a big change physically as well?
Yeah, physically as well. I mean, I break out in sweats, and I had like chronic headaches that were like awful. Like, you know, they would last for half a day, and migraine headaches. In not having as much energy and needing to sleep a lot more, there were certainly physical changes as well, and changes to my appetite. All of a sudden, I didn't need to eat as much, and there were all kinds of changes, and my skin's gotten a lot softer, and my hair's gotten a lot softer. My hairdresser even noticed.
Yeah.
And, you know, the muscle, I've lost a bit of muscle and, yeah. you know, got more curvaceous figure. So there's certainly physical changes as well, but I guess the emotional changes really threw me around, as you can imagine. But, you know, I adjusted. It took, you know, a good, maybe I would say the first 3 months of coming off testosterone were certainly the hardest.
Yeah.
But after 3 months, I started to adjust a lot better, and now I've been off it for approximately 8 months, and I've adjusted quite well.
Oh, that's good that you've adjusted well. When you, you know, spoke with your doctor and decided that coming off tea was best, how did you tell everyone that you didn't want to be identified as he, and that you were going off testosterone, but you were still Lee? You weren't, you know, turning into a different, completely different person. I suppose it was like a third puberty. I suppose it's like a third coming out. You know, was it a bit like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I sort of chatted before I spoke to my doctor. I had chatted with a number of friends about the thoughts that I was having and questioning whether I was really a man and all of those things, because I wasn't feeling male. So I had those discussions and then chatted to my doctor and I made my decision. And then did the whole big Facebook status of, hey, I'm genderqueer. I use, you know, Lee or they pronouns, you know, one of those big massive ones where you just let the masses know all at once. So I did that, and a lot of, you know, some people were really confused. I mean, some people were supportive. There were all different kinds of reactions. I had one person say, please don't stop tea. You make such a hot guy. And I'm like, well, that's what I was told when I was perceived as female. Please don't go on tea because he makes such a hot girl.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll make a cute genderqueer. I mean, we can sort it out. Like, I'm sure it won't be a big deal.
Nice. So did you find you had to go around and educate everybody on what genderqueer pronouns were and basically what it was about?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, some people were really confused. Even some, like, gender diverse people were confused. I mean, why are you stopping tea and having to explain my reasons? Well, there's many reasons. And, you know, some people, I guess, answering some questions and, yeah, I mean, you do what you do.
Yeah, nice. And did you become a bit of an activist for the gender diverse community, as in, you know, educating others and getting it out there and making people more aware of the genderqueer community?
I guess I was kind of already doing that before.
You kind of were, weren't
yeah.
you? Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much.
I suppose just making people understand you is helping people understand the broader gender diverse community, which is what I wanted to ask you about. Are there many gender diverse people out there to talk to and to discuss hopefully common things you have in your lifestyles?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, there are lots of, like, trans women groups and trans men groups or circles that where, you know, you meet people that have similar views to you. But I guess I've come a lot across of, I guess, genderqueer people, like, I guess the queer uni student thing, like, there's lots of, like, circles that you meet through people that and networking through that way, and there's lots of Facebook groups and there's stuff on, like, YouTube and stuff. So I guess you just meet people like that. But there's been a lot more genderqueer people out there than I thought and knew from you know, the beginning. I'm meeting more and more, and then you know people that know people, and, you know, there's heaps of us out there, actually. It's great.
Awesome. I suppose being genderqueer, you're sort of put with, I think when people say trans, they mean gender diverse. So you're kind of put with the FTMs and the MTFs, and we're sort of all bunched together, but not quite not quite the same. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that, do you feel like you didn't really have your own space being genderqueer, and that people were still wanting to make you male or female and put you in a box?
I think a lot of people tend to do that. They want you to be like masculine or feminine because that's what they're familiar with. And when they can't assign you either or, they get a bit cranky. I mean, like I think a lot of people just naturally want to do that. And when you're not, I mean, I've had people say to me, like, from afar I look like a boy, but then closer up it's a lot more ambiguous. And that's okay. Like, I think it's really important to, like, there's no right or wrong way to be gender diverse. You are who you are. And, you know, there's this whole thing that you're not man enough or woman enough or trans enough. And that's not cool. Like, that's not true. I mean, you are who you are, and there's no right or wrong way to be you. And I think that's something that a lot of people forget, and they get caught up in labels and stereotypes and all of the things, like just trying to be accepted. And like, it's okay to not be masculine or feminine, and it's okay to not be male or female.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we were talking about the Swinburne unisex toilets, and you were telling me that the signage that they've got is going to be permanent. What did you say? It was like plate of gold or something?
A little bit more legitimate. I mean, yeah. We've got our union bar, which is currently gender neutral. I created those signs myself.
Nice.
So, you know, students can access them throughout the day and on the bar nights. I mean, they're permanently gender neutral in our bar. But the one we're going to have some coming in over the next week or so near the Queer Lounge. We're having them ordered in that say all gender restroom. And yeah, they're coming in soon. So we'll have three on campus. And we've also got like ones labelled unisex in our new AMDC building. So we've got quite a few of them on campus, which is great that gender diverse people can actually go to the bathroom and not like worry about being told that they're in the wrong one or being policed or, you know, harassed or, you know, potentially in situations where their safety is at risk.
Mm, absolutely. I am interested to hear more about the projects that you're up to. Right now you are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this evening for our genderqueer show with Lee here. Now, Lee, we were just talking about the unisex toilets at Swinburne, and you were saying that some of them say unisex. What were the other ones called?
We've got gender neutral bathrooms, and then we're getting a new sign in, which will be all gender restroom. So there's quite a diversity in the labelling of the bathrooms, because people are never going to be happy, and people still aren't happy. But we've tried to cater to everyone.
Yeah, that's right. And that is one thing about the trans community. Everybody is completely different. And there's sort of no categories that you can put everyone in. And it's hard to keep everyone happy.
You can try.
You can try. but we're all still learning. Now, we have had a lovely message from Josh. And Josh says, Lee is the most inspirational queer leader I know. Lee keeps me going some days, and their strength and grace. Love, Josh, Swinburne Student Union's proudest vice president. Thank you, Josh. That is very much appreciated. And if you do have any questions for us, please SMS 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Now, Lee, there's an op shop coming up. You wanted to tell us about a few events coming up?
Yeah. So we've got a group together where a whole bunch of the unis with the queer departments are meeting together. And we're doing a cross-campus event on the 10th of October. And it's an op shop event at our Swinburne Student Union bar. So it's a cross-campus event where lots of different unis, so Swinburne, La Trobe, Deakin, RMIT, a whole bunch of the universities are all equally planning this event, a bar night. And there's going to be a bar tab. We're going to have some pizza. So the tickets are $10. And you can get them online, and there's a Facebook group for it, the AQSN Op Shop Bar Night, and it's going to be amazing, because then all the uni students are getting together and they're collaborating, and it's going to be great.
That sounds fantastic. I will post details of that night on the Transpositions Facebook page. And you can find a link to the Transpositions Facebook page through the Joy website, joy.org.au. If you click on Transpositions there, you can also have a little look at our podcasts done by Andrea. Now, Lee, you were saying you were, just jumping back to this, you were quite happy with just the chest surgery and a histo, and you felt like you didn't need the hormones. Now, you got your chest surgery done in Melbourne, that's right?
Yeah, with Andy Ives. I was his first Melbourne patient, which I was very excited about. He had only done a couple before he did me, and everyone was waiting to see how my chest was going to go. And I was very, very happy with the results. And he's very popular now. I mean, I think it's a 6-month waiting period to even get booked in for surgery or something like that.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does. He's wonderful.
Yeah. And everybody says that he's got such a nice bedside manner and he's just a really great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He called me muscles and I was like, I'll take my money. Where do I sign? You can operate on me.
Nice. Yeah. He's a really understanding guy and just gets... the sort of people that are coming in there for chest surgery, he knows how to treat them respectfully. So everyone that's been to Andy has said how wonderful he is.
It's comfortable around him. He completely gets it. He's very respectful.
Mm. And so what does chest surgery mean for you, Lee?
I love my chest so much. I'm not dysphoric about my chest at all, and I'm not ashamed of my chest. Which is great. I mean, before I had my chest surgery, I used to shower every morning, but I used to hate it. It used to make me feel really depressed and sad and, I had to bind and that constant reminder of, that I had, to bind and that it hurt to bind. And now I'm not dysphoric about any part of my body at all. No part at all. And I love my chest so much. I am shirtless a lot. A lot of my friends are aware of this and I just love my chest so much. I've got so much pride about it.
Awesome. That's great news, Lee. That's awesome. And now you also underwent a histo, which you were also feeling a bit dysphoric about. You were saying that the monthly bleeding was really something that you just wasn't right for you?
Oh, yeah, I hated it. My two dysphorias were really chest and bleeding, things that I absolutely just could not deal with and felt really depressed about. So they were my dysphorias and, I've had the histo and I've had the chest surgery and I wasn't dysphoric about my body at all, but I didn't realise that I didn't, need, testosterone. It wasn't for me. It's for other people, but I didn't need it. I mean, my dysphorias were chest and bleeding. I mean, I wasn't dysphoric about anything else really.
And so everyone is different and you can have all sorts of combinations. You can have no surgeries and just hormones and no hormones and just surgeries, whatever suits that person. Was there any prerequisites for you to have the histo or the chest surgery? Did you have to be on hormone replacement therapy or could you have just been on no other hormones and just be your natural self, I guess?
this is the good thing. It's a lot better now. I mean, back when I, back years and years and years ago before I started testosterone, the rules were a lot more stricter. You had to be binary, masculine or feminine to get hormones or binary to get approved for surgery. These days it's a lot more easier. I mean, I've got a friend who isn't on testosterone and they're genderqueer and they've had their chest surgery. I've even heard of female identifying people having chest surgery. So it's a lot more better and you don't have to be as binary now. Whereas many years ago, back in my day, you had to be binary to have hormones and surgery, but it's changed, which is amazing.
Mm. Do you know, Lee, if it's possible for someone just to go on a little bit of tea or just have a little bit of tea, rather than make a big commitment and be on it for the rest of their life?
Yeah, I've heard of people, you know, being open and honest with their doctors and saying, hey, I want to go this far, but I don't want to go, you know, further than that. Hey, I want to be on tea for maybe 6 months or a year, you know, but, you know, I just want enough for my voice to break or enough to get a little bit of hair. And, you know, as long as you've got a great understanding doctor, they're great about it, because I guess the problem back years ago was people were pushed into transitioning too far or too fast, you know, going, it was either all or nothing, whereas now it's a lot more, a lot of the professionals are now a lot more educated and understanding, because it's awful. I mean, pushing someone into what they're, into more than they're comfortable with, and it's, you know, they're a lot more understanding, which is great, because there's a lot more education out there, and it's okay. I mean, you are who you are, and you shouldn't have to take more or do anything further than what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, definitely. And but it's a psychiatrist who signs off on surgeries and hormones. So it's basically being gender diverse can also going to a psychiatrist is sort of a reason for making sure that it's gender that you're confused about rather than just an identity issue?
It's a little bit more looser than that. A doctor can prescribe you hormones without a psychiatrist if they want to. A lot of people don't know that because they're afraid of doing the wrong thing, but they actually can do that.
I didn't know that.
Yes. But if you want to, you can actually get approval from a psychologist if you want to sort of, you don't really necessarily have to see a psychiatrist anymore. And there's, you know, Ben from Northside, a lot of people see him and think he's wonderful because psychiatrists are really expensive, like the gender ones from the gender clinic. Yeah. If you're going privately, it's really expensive. But if you've got a good doctor, I mean, they're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. Now, that's quite new, that Ben, the counsellor, being able to approve hormones, isn't it? Is that?
Oh, it's all very new.
It's very new, yeah.
A lot has changed. We've progressed so far. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful. And we've still got more progressing to do. You are on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I have got Lee in the studio, and we're talking gender queer and gender diverse tonight. Now, Lee, you were just saying that it is possible nowadays with recent changes to go straight to your GP and get prescribed hormones. I was just saying, is there a possibility that could be dangerous with sort of impulsive people just going in and not thinking hard enough about it and convincing the doctor that they want hormones?
It's very uncommon to regret it. I think it's something like 1% of people that transition regret it, which is very, very minute. I mean, you can regret anything. I mean, even if you go to see the psychiatrist, there's still, you know, you can regret it. I mean, I had to see a psychiatrist to go on testosterone, and I'm coming off it. So I guess seeing a psychiatrist doesn't mean that you're guaranteed in not regretting anything. Same thing as seeing a doctor instead of a psychiatrist. I mean, you can never predict these things. I mean, at the time, it may be great and what you need, but who's to say that 20 years down the track, I mean, you can't predict these things, and whether you see a psychiatrist or a doctor is irrelevant.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you were saying you don't regret going on tea because you're coming off it now, but that was sort of part of your journey, experiencing being on testosterone.
You can't take it back, so why regret? I mean, I'm going off tea. I've realised it wasn't for me, but I had the experience of it and learnt a lot from it.
Yeah, nice. And that's all that makes you you. Just like I say, I was assigned female at birth, and I am a transgender man now, and I won't ever be a bio man, but I will always be a transgender man, and I'm quite happy with that. That's totally okay. I was meant to be transgender, not cis male. So it's been really nice to hear your story tonight, Lee. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
We will post some information about the op shop that Lee was talking about on the Transpositions Facebook page. And you can visit the Joy website to have a listen to Transpositions podcasts done by Andrea. You are listening to Joy 94.9. I'll speak to you next week.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.